Morning, Oregon, and happy hump day. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the show. In this third and final part of a three-part series on iconic Hollywood films shot in Oregon, we're going to talk about six films rather than five. Our survey ends rather arbitrarily with the end of the 1980s at the dawning of the Gus Van Sant era of filmmaking in Oregon, and particularly in the Portland area. But first, number 11, The Apple Dumpling Gang, 1975. Walt Disney Productions, starring Bill Bixby, Susan Clark, Don Knotts, Tim Conway. This lightweight, feel-good gold rush western comedy was Disney's most lucrative hit of the 1970s, and it was genuinely funny. Critics didn't quite know what to make of it. Most of them clearly felt it was low-quality stuff, but I don't think there was a single child who saw this movie and didn't love it. In this flick, a roving gambler wins a bunch of stuff in a card game and then discovers to his dismay that it comes with three orphan children. The kids subsequently find a huge gold nugget, and as suddenly everybody wants to adopt them. There's a gang of good bad guys, the Apple Dumpling Gang, a pair of serial bumblers played by Knotts and Conway, and there's a gang of bad guys, led by the one and only Slim Pickens. To foil the bad guys, the kids have to help the good bad guys steal their nugget from the bank where it's being held for safekeeping. Several scenes in the Apple Dumpling Gang were shot in particularly picturesque parts of Deschutes County, near Bend. Number 12. The Shining, 1977. Warner Brothers, starring Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Danny Lloyd, Scatman Crothers. The Shining is one of the great masterpieces of supernatural horror. Its initial reception was a little shaky, but history has been very kind to it, and today it's a vital part of pop culture. The most significant connection to Oregon and The Shining is Timberline Lodge, which stands in for the Overlook Hotel, though most of the interior shots of the movie were actually done on movie lots. In this movie, writer Jack Torrance takes a job as a winter caretaker in a magnificent haunted hotel called the Overlook, which is closed and snowed in every winter. Jack's son, Danny, has psychic abilities and soon starts having frightening visions. Jack gets crazier and crazier as Danny starts chanting red rum and channeling a spirit named Tony, and eventually, egged on by the ghost of the previous year's caretaker, Jack suffers a complete mental breakdown and sets out to murder his wife and son with a fire axe. And, as they like to say, hilarity ensues. Number 13. National Lampoon's Animal House, 1978. Universal Pictures, starring John Belushi, Tim Matheson, John Vernon, Verna Bloom. This movie is to the University of Oregon what the exploding whale story is to the town of Florence. That is to say, it's an open question of whether the fame of having hosted such an iconic event outweighs the notoriety of having hosted such an iconic event. The U of O wasn't the producer's first choice, but at every college whose campus had the right look, the administrators took one look at the script, blanched, and ran for the door. But the U of O's president, William Boyd, he'd been down this road once before. When he was a senior administrator at one of the California colleges, he turned up his nose at an offer to host a movie and thereby lost a chance to provide the backdrop for The Graduate, which went on to become a timeless classic, or at least a timeless classic for the following 10 or 20 years. But apparently, not wanting to make the same mistake twice, he went ahead and green-lighted Animal House. The movie was filmed on and around the U of O campus. The scene with the dead horse was actually filmed on location in the real dean's office in Johnson Hall. The famous food fight scene was shot in the Herb Memorial Union's Fishbowl, and the house itself was a ramshackle place on East 11th Street, and some of the interior scenes were shot in the Sigma Nu house next door to it. Both houses have subsequently been demolished, unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately. Also, the homecoming parade scene was staged in downtown Cottage Grove. Number 14, The Goonies, 1985, Warner Brothers, starring Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Jeff Cohen, Corey Feldman, Cary Grean, Martha Plimpton, Ke Huy Quan. set and filmed in Astoria and Point South. This movie, a Steven Spielberg story and one of the most successful productions of 1985, was a huge event for the city of Astoria. The storyline was set there and it was filmed on location. In it, a gang of kids living in the Goondocks neighborhood of Astoria sets out on an adventure following an old map claiming to lead to the lost treasure of One-Eyed Willie the Pirate. They end up in an abandoned seaside restaurant where a family of criminals are hanging out. Trying to escape from these bad guys, they stumble onto a cavern that leads to One-Eyed Willie's hideout, but those criminals are hot on their trail. Except for the cavern scenes, almost the entire movie was shot in Astoria, a town that's rather well known for pirate treasure legends, it must be said, and at other spots along the northern Oregon coast. The scene in which the bad guys break out of jail is filmed in the old Clatsop County Jail, which 25 years after the movie was made became the Oregon Film Museum. Number 15, Stand By Me, 1986, Columbia Pictures, starring Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, Jerry O'Connell, Kiefer Sutherland, and Andy Lindberg. The reviewers all call this movie a coming-of-age story, and they're mostly right. The idea is the narrator is remembering an adventure that he and some friends embarked on back in 1959, a quest to find the body of another kid who'd been hit and killed by a railroad train. The movie is set in the quasi-fictional town of Castle Rock, Oregon. In real life, there is, of course, a Castle Rock in Washington, but none in Oregon. In the movie, the town of Brownsville stood in for Castle Rock, the junkyard scene was filmed near Veneta, and the railroad tracks along which the boys journeyed was the old Oregon Pacific and Eastern Railroad line out of Cottage Grove. By the way, when this movie was shot, the Blue Goose Excursion steam train was still running on those tracks on the weekends. Today the track's been taken up and the railway right-of-way is known as the Row River Trail. Number 16. Drugstore Cowboy. 1989, Avenue Pictures. Starring Matt Dillon, Kelly Lynch, James LaGross, Heather Graham. This movie follows two couples who steal prescription drugs from pharmacies. This was long before prescription drug abuse was a mainstream issue. Their leader, Dillon's character, is highly superstitious and eventually his luck runs out. Drugstore Cowboy more or less marked the beginning of the Gus Van Sant era of filmmaking in Portland. It would be followed up with several more from Van Sant and would inspire a generation of filmmakers in Oregon, and in particular Portland, who would power a surge of high-quality movies over the following dozen or so years, as well as a few more pedestrian ones. Van Sant's success wasn't so much the start of Oregon top-shelf independent filmmaking as its coming to national attention. This resulted in a flurry of attention from mainstream filmmakers in the 1990s and early 2000s, and although cheaper locations like Vancouver, BC and Atlanta, Georgia have captured much of that market, the Beaver State remains one of the country's hottest hotspots for independent filmmaking today. And that's a wrap. This column was first published on May 30th of 2014, under the headline Iconic Movies Filmed in Oregon, Part 3, 1975 to 1989. Key sources included works by Ann Richardson, Chris Nashawati, OregonFilmMuseum.org, and IMDb.com. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. And by the way, if you like this kind of stuff, you might be interested in my other podcast. It's called the Penny Dreadful Hour podcast, and it's basically an early Victorian variety show. Each week, I read a chapter or two from several different classic Penny Dreadful story papers published between 1840 and 1866 or so, complete with historical and sociological commentary sometimes, and definitions of the flash cant slang lingo that was used by Romany family coves, bold highway robbers, and titled Regency roisterers back in the day. Check it out. You'll find it wherever you get your podcasts, or you can cut straight to it at pennydread.com/apple or pennydread.com/spotify. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way at around 6 a.m. every weekday morning, so if you're looking for the next one, you haven't got long to wait. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.